The federal government doles out over $13 billion of our money every year. One quarter of that cash goes to just 6,000 farmers, with one of them taking home nearly $10 million a year. All that free money leads us to ask, how does one farm the government?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,161st edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Kowloon who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, it is our money. We earn it by working. The government takes some of that money we earn and they put it into a big pot, and then they wonder what to do with it all. One thing government has decided to do with our money, over $13 billion of our money every year, is give it to farmers. Now, who's to complain about giving money to farmers? Why, what would we city people eat if it weren't for our farmers? We would gobble up everything in the grocery store in about 3 days, and then what? No, sir, no complaints here about sending money to farmers. Still, we wonder about which farmers the government has decided to give our money to. Thankfully, we don't have to wonder too long because the folks at Open the Books have done just that for us. And here are some of the samples of what they have found for us. 389 farmers receive over $1 million a year in subsidies from the federal government, with one of them getting nearly $10 million a year. $17 million in farm subsidies were sent by the government to the 5 most populated cities in the U.S. Must be some big farms hiding out in those cities. Nearly $5 million in farm subsidies were sent to the elites who live in 150 of America's most expensive zip codes. You know those farms up there in Beverly Hills, right? No complaints, mind you, but still, all that cash of ours being given to so few people in such fancy neighborhoods leads us to ask, how does one farm the government? And here to help us figure out how, we have Adam Andrzejewski, who is the founder and CEO of American Transparency. Adam, welcome to the Food Chain.
Well, Michael, thank you very much for your interest in our work. Thank you for having me on the program.
Pleasure. American Transparency. Love the notion, being in the business of First Amendment stuff, you know, being a radio guy, talking out, asking questions. American Transparency, we're for it. But what is it? Who are you?
So at American Transparency, in our website, we brand under our website. It's called OpenTheBooks.com. And here's our mission: to capture and post online every dime taxed and spent at every level of government across the entire country. Our motto is every dime online in real time. And we follow the appropriations clause of the federal constitution, which says that a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. And we think the interpretation today in the internet age, Michael, is very clear. It's every dime online in real time.
And that's what you do.
Right.
Here's where the money is spent.
We actually file about 60,000 Freedom of Information Act requests a year, and it's on every public body. Our goal is to file one with all 90,000 public bodies across the country. To date, at the federal level, the state level, and the local level, we file 60,000 of those requests, and we file them for public employee salary and pension records, and also the vendor checkbook spending. Specific to this report, we took a tranche of federal data, the United States Farm Subsidy, and we gave that robust oversight.
Well, I'm sure there are people who don't like that.
Well, we make all kinds of enemies. I think if you listen to us long enough, we make everybody in the country at a certain point mad at us, right?
Because that's what you want to do. You want to get the information out. And I was just thinking about that with respect to being in the business of, you know, talk radio shows and whatnot, if you're doing your job well, you piss off everybody.
Well, it's great to talk to you, Michael. That's a great frame. I love the frame of how you started the program, farming the government. It's great to farm crops. I come from a eight-generation family farm. We were a land-grant family in Illinois. We dug up the prairie grass, planted the first set of crops, built the farmhouse, you know, from a limestone foundation, and my relatives farmed that 600 acres from 1844 to 1913 without electricity. These were tough people. They did it without a farm subsidy, and they did it without electricity for a long period of time.
And it made them very special people, too. Oh, my goodness. So, well, first of all, who pays your way there at Open the Books and American Transparency? How do you get... It seems like you make so many enemies that nobody wants to pay you.
Well, it's a good point. We're a public charity, so we're a recognized IRS 501c3.
So people can donate to you.
That's right. So we raise all our money from folks left, right, and center that want a new day. They want the books open. They want to be able to follow the money. They want to be able to hold the political class at every level of government, even in your local municipality, accountable for tax and spend decisions.
Wow. Amen. What was it Deep Throat said? Follow the money. And to follow the money, you have to know where it is, and that's what you guys are doing. So pleasure to talk to you today. So I'm going to open up this discussion with a real fundamental question. Why on earth is the federal government giving our farmers $13.2 billion of our money every year?
Well, Michael, it's a program, as you know, started with the best of intentions, started with very good intentions.
As do they all, right?
That's true. As started during the Great Depression, the farm subsidy was created to help keep the family farm afloat and to ensure a stable national food supply. Now, as our data here in 2017, going back for the last 10 years, points out that the subsidies have grown so lucrative on farming that wealthy investors, large corporations, and farm estate heirs now use our taxpayer money to maximize their profits, their return on farming and farm ground.
And there you are. Now, one of the people that you have, one of the farms that you have pointed out, I guess you haven't pointed out, it's just the money pointed out, is Pinacon Farm in Iowa, Meyer, Iowa, a family farm that's getting real close to $10 million in government subsidies every year. And I looked them up, and it seemed like a real nice story. Family farm, brothers working the farm together. And it's of note that their children want to work the farm and stay in farming as well. But then again, why not? If the government is giving you $10 million to farm every year, even I could make money doing that. So how does it come to be that one farm gets $10 million?
And I actually don't have a good answer for that question. We took a look at the last 10 years of farm subsidies in the largest recipients, and it goes all the way up to $23 million over a 10-year period from Concordia Allied Producers. In second place is Scott Farms at nearly $22 million over a 10-year period. And look, it's a tremendous amount of money at the high end. You mentioned in your opening that there was nearly 400, and we call them fortunate farming entities, that last year received over $1 million. So if, for instance, you're in the top 10 over the last 10 years of farm subsidy recipients, you received an average of $18 million. That's almost $2 million a year. And we broke it down on a weekly basis. It's $35,000 a week for 10 years. That's an amazing amount of taxpayer money going into the high end.
Well, do other countries subsidize their farmers like we subsidize ours?
Well, I'm not an expert on other countries, but it's my understanding that the European Union has heavy subsidies in farming. Now, there is one country that we are aware of that eliminated farm subsidies. They eliminated them in the 1980s, and that was Australia. And Australia has a robust farming industry. They were able to eliminate the subsidy, which strikes me as a very, very difficult thing to do. And their farming industry is strong, and it has been growing ever since. Now, I know, and certainly in my travels, and we're based in Illinois, and obviously this great personal legacy of eight generations of a farm family. And I grew up walking beans to tasseling corn and baling hay in my small town of Hersher, Illinois. And I have never met a farmer who has admitted to me that they actually like receiving subsidies.
Hold that thought. And, Adam, we're going to have to take a quick break. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today we're talking about farming the government for lots of money. Adam Andzieski and you, right back.
We're on the farm with Joel Salatin.
Would you like to buy homemade soup, backyard chicken, and the neighbor's artisanal lunch meat? The Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund protects your right to acquire the food of your choice from the source of your choice. I'm Joel Salatin from Polyface Farm, and I urge you to defend the right of neighbors to engage in direct food commerce. Join today at farmtoconsumer.org. The food of your choice from the source of your choice. That's farmtoconsumer.org. Farmtoconsumer.org. Thank you.
When you buy local American-grown flowers, flowers will grow and flourish in America. Hello, I'm Deborah Prinzing, author of Slow Flowers for Certified American-Grown Flowers. When you buy local flowers, you're helping our country's family farms reduce the transportation footprint of flowers and enjoy fresher, longer-lasting bouquets. So please, next time you shop for flowers, think local. Think Certified American-Grown Flowers. Visit AmericanGrownFlowers.org to learn more.
You can dream it, build it, own it, Metro Farm it. You can sow it, feed it, grow it, Metro Farm it. You can harvest it and dry it. You can sell it, Metro Farm it.
Learn how to dream it, build it, sow it, seed it, grow it, harvest it, sell it, Metro Farm it. Yes, you can do it. Dream it, build it, earn it, own it, Metro Farm it.
Oh, learn it, do it, earn it, Metro Farm it. Dream it, build it, own it. It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
It's all in Metro Farm, the guide to growing for the city. Get your copy today at metrofarm.com.
It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, you and I could make money farming if the government were giving us $10 million a year to farm. Why, we could grow just about anything, or not even anything, and make a lot of money if the government were giving us $10 million to farm. And that is the situation with respect to at least one farm here in the United States, and many farms are getting millions of dollars. So how is it that our government has come to giving so few farmers so much money? That's the subject on the table today with Adam Andzieski, who is the founder and CEO of American Transparency. His effort called Open the Books, and that's what they do. Every dime online in real time. They tell us where the government is spending our money. Good to know. And so how did we come to this, Adam? That's what we were talking about before the break.
So I don't think it was ever the intent of Congress to create a new class of millionaires off the farm subsidy, but that's any effort to curtail and slash farm subsidies for wealthy farmers goes nowhere in Congress. And right now, Republicans in Congress control both houses and the presidency, and yet there is, on a bipartisan basis, no impetus to scale back the farm subsidies to wealthy farmers. As a matter of fact, Politico just put up a piece the other day entitled "How Congress Killed the Efforts to Slash Subsidies for Wealthy Farmers." And over at Forbes, we put it on an interactive map, all 6,700 entities that received over $1 million of federal farm subsidy in the last 10 years. So you can look in your zip code or any zip code across the country, and you can see who's receiving what in terms of farm subsidies. And it's an amazing amount of money. But because of the planning and the lobbying and the lack of political will, these farm subsidies, even to wealthy farmers, continue to flow unabated.
Adam, I wrote a book about farming small parcels of land close to the city called Metro Farm. And the idea, if to succeed at that endeavor, you have to compete with somebody who has 1,000 acres out in the country. You have to compete with those who have the scale. And the problem with government handing out money is that the money always goes to those who have the greatest economies of scale to influence government. You know, if you're a small farmer with like 1 acre of land and it costs, you know, $10,000 to influence a congressman, that's $10,000 an acre. But if you have 1,000 acre, it's only 10 bucks.
Well, and you bring up a great point, Michael, and I want to give it a little context with a report that we're going to break in a couple of months. And it's on the federal flow of funds into Fortune 100 companies, our most successful and wealthy corporations. And we detail the tremendous amount of lobbying expense in that report. And it's billions of dollars, Michael. So your point about access and influence in the halls of Congress has a lot of merit.
So I don't think that it's possible to change that influence. The only thing I can see that would change that is if there were no government subsidies at all, as has Australia affected over there.
Well, and I've thought of that, and how you've probably considered that as well. And if Australia did it, we could definitely do it. I don't know how actually it would go down in America right now. As you know, all the inputs, even the price of ground, everything, all the way from the equipment that you purchase, all the prices in the entire industry are reflected on the subsidy. They're a lot higher than what they would be if the American taxpayer was not funding and subsidizing this industry to the tune of $13 billion a year.
So isn't that the nature of subsidizing? Once you subsidize something, you distort its true value.
Yes.
No matter what you're subsidizing it with. Maybe you want to feel better, so you take a drug and subsidize your mood. Well, then your mood is unrealistic, and to keep that mood going, you have to take more drugs. And isn't that kind of like subsidizing agriculture, too?
I agree, and I think that's economically right on the tenets. Now, think about an example, you know, from the oil and gas industry. That industry back in the late, I believe, 70s and 80s was subsidized through tax breaks, special tax breaks of partnerships and limited partnerships in the oil and gas industry. When that tax break went away on tax reform, that industry suffered a mini depression. And I think that's the question at hand. Any scale back of these farm subsidies would deeply affect the industry in the short run. And so that's why they're so difficult to scale back, or certainly follow the path of Australia and eliminate entirely. It's so difficult to do that.
Well, there's always those withdrawals, aren't there?
Right.
So if you lose that subsidy, what do you do? It affects the entire farm economy. Oh, my goodness, the stink that would be raised, and it is raised in Washington, D.C. Every time there's a farm bill that comes up, the money pours into Washington, D.C., the congressman's coffers fill up, and our pocketbooks drain.
And there's certain reforms that should be done on a bipartisan basis. So, for instance, if you made more than $500,000 last year, I think everybody can agree that you shouldn't be receiving a taxpayer-financed farm subsidy. So we identified that, you know, even billionaires, like the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves NBA basketball team, his name is Glenn Taylor, and last year in 2017, he received $116,000 for taxpayer funding for his egg and dairy farm in Iowa. Now, this guy he's 350th on the Forbes 400 list. Does he really need our money?
Well, how can you take it away, though, from one person just because they make money? I it's a difficult one. It's really difficult. And why is it that so much of our money flows to zip codes like, what is it, Beverly Hills, you know? Why are people in Beverly Hills getting subsidies, farm subsidies? So there it is. That's the situation we have to live with, I guess. How do these subsidies affect our relationship, our trade relationships with other nations through NAFTA and WTO and whatnot?
So we haven't studied the effect on trade, but the subsidies were put in place to create a stable national food supply. And obviously we're well beyond a stable national food supply because we're one of the largest obvious exporters of agricultural products in the world. So I think that original reason to establish the subsidy, we're well beyond that.
So do these subsidies make our food cheaper at the supermarket or more expensive?
So we right within our niche, we haven't done the research on how it affects prices in the grocery store. But one of the things is we were looking at these payments, and we took a look at 60 federal agriculture programs, that dole out the money. We found, and this is pretty incredible, Michael. We found that since 2004, the Department of Agriculture has admitted to $3.7 billion in improper payments that they've processed since 2004. And just in the past 2 years, it's been $750 million of overpayments that were shelled out to farmers. So this is another area of reform.
This is ridiculous, is what it is.
Right. Not only are we paying for these payments and these subsidies, and the subsidies are in place and they're going to all kinds of people that don't need taxpayer help, but we're also shelling out a lot more money than what we should be.
And folks, that money we're shelling out is our money. It's from you and I. The government takes it away. They send it to Washington, D.C., and they decide what to do with it. And they decide the best thing to do with it is to send it to Beverly Hills, all those farmers in Beverly Hills who are in desperate need of our money. Do stay tuned with Michael Olson, Adam Andzieski, and you right back.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, I don't think we're going to make any sense of agriculture subsidies going to farmers in Beverly Hills. It's just not going to happen, folks. Government takes our money, sends it to people in Beverly Hills and other high-income zip codes around the country, sends it to farm corporations, farm families, one of which gets $10 million a year, others getting $30 million over a several-year period of time. Doesn't make any sense to anybody except those people who are getting all that money. Not going to small farmers at all, is it, Adam?
Well, there's about 1 million different farming entities received money last year. Now, that said, a lot of the money went to folks at the high end. For example, entities receiving more than $250,000, that comprised one out of every $4 of the subsidy. So that, I mean, $250,000 in a year is a lot of money, and one out of every $4 flowed to those folks. we took a look at...
So this is money that goes to them in addition to the money they're making themselves.
Right, yeah. This is taxpayer money to subsidize farming operations.
So you could be making, you know, $100,000 growing crops of some kind, and the government could be sending you another $250,000 because you're on the list, I guess.
Right. You can be a very, very successful dentist with a dental practice in the city of Chicago and own a farm elsewhere, like in Iowa, and your $10,000 worth of federal farm subsidy flows to your dental practice in the city of Chicago. Actually, you can be a dead farmer. Our honorary chairman is former U.S. Senator Dr. Tom Coburn, and when Coburn was in the United States Senate, he had the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, do a report, and the IRS found that $1.1 billion in a six-year period was paid to 172,000 deceased farmers.
Wow.
So I guess, Michael, that just goes to the story that, you know, the farm subsidies are going to be very, very difficult to end. You can die and you still receive the subsidy.
Jeez. Well, there you go. I guess we're in trouble there trying to figure that out. It's not going to happen. Tell us a little bit about the programs that the government used to fund things. I understand 78% of the money goes to three different kinds of programs. The first one would be agriculture risk coverage. Now, if you're in business, I'm sure you know about risk. What kind of risk are we talking about in agriculture?
So the actual crop revenue of a covered commodity, you know, there's a threshold there where there are guarantees for that commodity, and this coverage protects farmers from adverse changes in market conditions, you know, price fluctuations. It was interesting. I went home to Hersher this weekend for my parents' 50-year wedding anniversary, and as soon as we got off the expressway and started driving along the country roads, I noticed that the corn looked like end-of-September corn, and sure enough, when I asked about it, they're in a drought. So this is the type of coverage that would protect family farmers historically from drought conditions.
Okay, so it's insurance for bad weather.
Exactly.
Now, I have a niece who works for a farm bureau up in the Midwest, and she says that farmers can call in and get hail insurance an hour before a storm.
So... look, it's government, so I'm sure there are loopholes and mistakes in the programs. I haven't heard of that one. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so there you go. So that program, Agriculture Risk Coverage, $3.8 billion, right?
It's a tremendous amount of money.
Marketing assistance, $3.5
billion. So these are marketing tools available to producers when... you know, at harvest or shearing, it assists farmers when the market prices are low and allowing them to hold on to commodities instead of selling them immediately.
Well, how does that work?
In terms of the granular detail of the programs, you know, others would have a better grasp of that.
Hard to figure out how that would work. I was just thinking in terms of, but you get lost really quickly. Who knows? The other one is price loss coverage, $3.2 billion. I'd like to have that insurance.
A lot of industries would like to have insurance. You know, all these, you know, we gave aggregated numbers and then broke them out for the high end on 60 programs from the Department of Agriculture. So it was not only price loss coverage and the agriculture risk coverage and the non-recourse marketing assistance loans. It was also, you know, things like conservation reserve programs, that's commonly known as CRP. And there was livestock forage programs. There is, you know, non-insured crop disaster assistance programs. There's loan deficiency programs. There's emergency conservation programs. There's emergency forestation programs. There's 60 programs. So there's a lot of detail here.
60 different ways the government can protect farmers and agriculture.
And that doesn't include the extra $13 billion worth of lending the Department of Agriculture just freed up under executive order from the president to combat the ill effects of the tariff policy.
Now, that was an interesting one, too. So the government does have a good reason and a good cause to protect agriculture, does it not?
It does, absolutely.
And I think, you know, if you're a wise leader of a nation, that's the first thing you want to do is make sure that everybody gets fed. Because if you don't do that, you know you're going to be in big trouble one way or another. So when we get involved in a trade spat, then what we've done is taken measures to protect our agriculture and the losses that they're going to incur because of that, right?
Absolutely.
Good. And there's another program that's kind of fascinating, too, in which we pay farmers not to farm.
So about $2 billion paid for this program. And there's, you know, people can make a public purpose argument for this conservation program, which takes, you know, in large respect, it takes, you know, marginal land out of production for a conservation goal. And
so it's essentially it's land you shouldn't be farming in the first place. We'll pay you not to farm.
And that's the other side of the equation. Exactly. There's always two sides to these subsidies.
So in this program, I think it started in the great boom times when everybody was plowing fence post to fence post and planting everything into crops. And we lost a lot of topsoil when that happened. And so the government stepped in and said, well, wait a minute, we have to get a hold of this situation. So they encouraged farmers not to grow on those marginal lands by giving them money not to do so. And that's just another one of the many subsidies that we're talking about today on the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson with Adam Andzieski, who is the founder, CEO of American Transparency. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you look through and see what's really going on by following the money, because that's what they do at American Transparency. Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, folks, a year ago, $5 million in farm subsidies flowed straight to the upper middle class elites in America's 150 most expensive zip codes. And that's really the nature of ag subsidies. Once you start subsidizing something, it wants to keep getting subsidized. I guess it's like having a kid. It won't go out and get a job or something like that. You have to keep subsidizing the kid until something happens. Do you think anything will ever happen, Adam?
Well, there should be. There should, look, in a perfect world, there should be momentum in Congress for some very reasonable reforms. You know, we've talked about a couple of bipartisan reforms that should be able to happen. One is that if you're a wealthy individual, you know, there should be income caps on taxpayer subsidies. The other one could.
Well, haven't we tried that before, Adam?
So I don't know if that's been tried, and it certainly was killed this time. They couldn't even get a cap on those with incomes over $500,000. That one was just stopped. There was no public debate. It just never went forward. The second conceivable reform would be that you can't receive a farm subsidy unless you're involved in active management of your farm. Obviously, the definition is pretty difficult to craft, but this would kick city slickers off the farm subsidy.
Well, that's not really true either, Adam, because a lot of farmers don't live on farms anymore. A lot of farmers are kind of like general contractors where they hire people to do things for them. And they ride around in a white truck with, you know, Wi-Fi and whatnot. But they are actively managing their farms. So it seems like no matter where you try to put a thumb down on the situation, the situation squirts out beneath your thumb like a bead of mercury. You can't put your thumb on anything.
Well, I agree with you that these things, they're all problems of what you identified earlier, and that's the subsidy largesse that exists in the first place. When you introduce the subsidy, then you would introduce all of these rules, all these regulations that must come with the subsidy, or not come with the subsidy. And in this case, the subsidy has grown so lucrative without any constraints or rules that I think we have to start talking about you know, the real purpose of what we have in place here.
Which, of course, is what we're trying to do today. You know, we're a couple people who are looking at our pocketbooks being drained, going to Beverly Hills to subsidize a wealthy farmer in Beverly Hills or someplace, and we're saying, well, just a minute, that's my money.
And let's put that in context also. So you got Aspen, Colorado, and, you know, there's 25, quote, farmers in Aspen, Colorado, and they got nearly $300,000 last year. And then you think about Palm Springs, California, and, you know, nearly 60 people there scooped up $300,000. And you've been talking about Beverly Hills, California, and 51 recipients got $500,000. And Fisher Island, Florida, 10, you know, these are very wealthy areas. 10 recipients got $700,000. Malibu, California, you know, Palm Beach, Florida, Park City, Utah. 251 recipients in Park City, Utah got nearly $2 million last year.
And we cannot touch that money. We cannot get it back because there's nobody in either party in Congress willing to stand up and say, "This, the end of this, we're going to do what Australia did. We're going to end it."
One of the things we identified, and this goes to the culture of Congress, is that we identified 12 members of the House Agriculture Committee in the majority party that last year received over $600,000 worth of farm subsidies. So think about this. They're on the committee, they're crafting the farm subsidy policy, they're voting on it, and they're receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of their own subsidy.
Well, I guess you can't blame them for voting for subsidies then, right? Except, yes, you can, because that's our money that they're getting. And it's not fair.
That's right. So the top recipient was Doug LaMoffa, California 1, and he received by himself $637,000 worth of federal farm subsidy last year.
Wait a minute. Who is this guy?
So he's a California Republican in District 1, and let me go to – we did bios of all of these people receiving the dollars. So he's received over $5 million in subsidies in the last 20 years, which averages about $90,000 a year for a 20-year period. He does have a farm partnership, and he is a member of the House Agriculture Committee. And he's worked very, very hard to draft the 2018 Farm Bill. He's got a net worth that he discloses of nearly $4 million.
So, well, that's a very lucrative position, and because he's a farmer, he obviously grows something and probably makes something selling it. And then he is on the farm. He's getting subsidies for whatever his farming operation does, so he gets a lot of money from that. And then, I'm sure, he gets a lot of campaign donations from other ag interests who want to make sure that things go the way they want them to go. And all of this money must come from those who have economies of scale sufficient to make a difference in Washington, D.C. If you're farming 10 acres, going to be very, very expensive to do that. If you have 1,000 acres, maybe not so expensive. Maybe you can't afford not to. Well, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson here with Adam Angieski, who is the founder and CEO of American Transparency. Their website, openthebooks.com, and find out where your money went. Right back.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, we have a few minutes left to talk, and so much to talk about it talk about in. You know, folks, we are sending so much money to Washington, D.C. And what is it that our government is doing with our money? It is our money. We earned it. We work. We earn it. We pay the government. What is the government doing with our money? Well, you can find out by going to openthebooks.com and see where our money is going. One place it is going is to agriculture. And the people who are getting that money tend to be those who get too much of it, I think. And those who really need it don't get enough of it. So where do we go from here, Adam?
So I think we need reform. I think if people are tired of subsidizing wealthy individuals, farm estate heirs, large corporations with our money, folks that, you know, live in urban areas where there are no farms, we need to raise our voice. We need to raise our voice with our member of Congress. Now's the time. The Farm Bill is reauthorized every 4 years. In 2018, it's up for renewal right now. One version has passed the Senate. Another version has passed the House. They have to do what's called reconciliation to come in and re-vote the entire thing before they send it to President Trump's desk. So now's the time to raise your voice. Now's the time to insist on reform.
And be sure and call up that congressman that's getting, how much, $650,000 this year or something? Call up your congressman that's getting rich on the farm subsidies and tell him we don't want any more farm subsidies, right?
That's right. And so, another reform is that, you know, other government entities are soaking up a lot of farm subsidies. So like the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, they received $16 million. And the Washington Department of Natural Resources got another $9 million. And state universities in Arkansas and Minnesota and Illinois and Arizona have each received over $1 million of farm subsidies. And that's just a transfer payment. Our tax dollars from the federal government to these state governments, and that can be reformed. There's no need for that.
You know, it seems like we started out to help poor family farms survive in a very tough time. And great intentions. We're going to help our family farmers survive and therefore have something to eat in the city here. Great, noble intentions. But somehow along the line, those intentions became subverted by, I suspect, money. Money said, that's really nice of you to think that way, but we should have some of that money too.
Well, and I want to put a statistic with that thought. Two-thirds, we identified that two-thirds of all entities receiving over $1 million of farm subsidies, they're located outside the breadbasket of the Midwest, which includes the states of Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Kansas, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, and Colorado. So it's going elsewhere in the country.
Phew. Adam Andrzejewski, who is the founder and CEO of American Transparency, look him up on openthebooks.com. What's your motto?
Every dime, online, in real time.
And who can beat that? You know, folks, that's our money. We have to stand up sooner or later and say, stop wasting our money on rich people. Adam, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you all out there. Remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends miss the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.